You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
So among the issues raised in the Trayvon Martin case that bears directly on the idea of safety in any neighborhood at any given time is the question of what suspicions and assumptions people might bring into an encounter with a stranger that might motivate them to act. In the Trayvon Martin case, the victim, Martin, was a 17-year-old African-American. George Zimmerman, the 28-year-old Neighborhood Watch volunteer, was Latino. Sanford, Florida is a community that has seen a sharp rise in its Latino population in the past few decades. What does that mean? Well, a Duke University study cited yesterday by our guest, Isabel Wilkerson, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author and journalist, suggests that Latinos in communities like Sanford are likely to harbor negative impressions of African-Americans.
When Latinos come to the United States, they bring with them pre-existing assumptions about a hierarchy that exists here in the United States about who's on top and who's not.
And that leads to these statistics, according to Wilkerson. Here's some of the numbers from the Duke study. Researchers surveyed 500 residents of Durham, North Carolina. They found that 58.9% of Latino immigrants feel that few or almost no blacks are hardworking. Almost a third, 32.5% of Latino immigrants reported they feel few or almost no blacks are easy to get along with. More than half of the Latino immigrants, or 56.9%, felt that few or almost no blacks could be trusted. What do these statistics, which the social scientists at Duke said they found to be very depressing and disheartening, what do they mean? Joining us now, Pedro Noguero, sociology professor at NYU. I'm kind of flabbergasted by these statistics. They don't apply directly to Sanford, Florida, but as a trend, they do seem pretty disturbing. What do you make of it?
Well, I would say that Latino immigrants, like many immigrants, often encounter the stereotypes, the negative stereotypes to African-Americans quite early, and not surprisingly, they embrace them. But I think it's important to keep in mind that there's a lot of diversity within the Latino population and big differences between people who've been here longer than people who just arrived. And there are also regional differences between race relations in between what you see in California and Texas versus what you see in New York and other parts of the Northeast. So I would be hesitant to generalize. I would also be hesitant to really see this as a Latino versus African-American incident. We don't know that much about the shooter, George Zimmerman, and his own identity, how he identifies himself. And I would just add that we have a lot of cases where there have been African-American police officers who killed African-American people, unarmed suspects. And so it would tell us that, you know, we need to more understand the way in which Black people, particularly Black youth, are seen and the judgments that are made, rather than looking at this through the prism of Latino bias toward African-Americans.
Yeah, I think we're not trying to get into any sort of blame game here, and I think we do want to step back from this particular incident. It was interesting that Isabel Wilkerson, you know, referred to this study and you know, the kinds of things that she said, and she's talking about what you're saying there, that immigrants will see African-Americans through a prism of where they fit onto the sort of food chain, the hierarchy that exists when they arrive, which means that basically Latinos are getting an impression of African-Americans from perhaps the racist or disrespectful behavior that comes from the white majority in the United States, and that they conclude that then African-Americans are not to be trusted. So that's one phenomenon going on. And the Durham study also found that most of the immigrants in that particular community were Mexican, so to address the diversity issue. But I'm wondering if this is something like what happened after the Rodney King riots, that there was a discussion of tension that existed between African-Americans and Koreans in Korean markets, that suddenly people began reporting, oh, yeah, there's a sense of mistrust here. It had a certain significance. It was difficult to measure, but it was a phenomenon that people seemed to recognize. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure, sure. And I don't want to dismiss that. I mean, I do think that in communities, very often Latino immigrants are moving into communities in close proximity to African Americans. And often that initial encounter can be characterized by conflict and suspicion because of competition for housing, for jobs. And the fact that there is no prior experience often results in people relying on past prejudices. But I would still say that we need to be aware of the variations in the diversity within the Latino population, that recent immigrants from Mexico are very different than Puerto Ricans or Dominicans. Latinos as a group are themselves very diverse. There are some Latinos who are white. There are some who are black. There are some who are more indigenous, and all kinds of combinations in between. So we just have to be careful about the generalizations.
Well, then looking very, very broadly, in a situation, and you're a sociologist, in a situation where immigrants are competing in a difficult economy, are they likely to acquire negative stereotypes about each other in the sense that they want to get the best competitive advantage in every conceivable economic encounter, including encounters on the street?
Well, I would say I'm not sure if they necessarily view it in broad terms of us versus them. But I would say that yes, that when there are when you see Latinos moving into historically black neighborhoods, for example, in Los Angeles, we've seen this a lot in areas like South Central and Compton that were historically African-American, that's often a place where you'll see tensions rise. I'm not sure of the history of Sanford, if that was the case there. But as neighborhoods are in transition, but we saw the same thing, we have to keep that in mind, in this country, when Puerto Ricans were moving into Italian neighborhoods, for example, in the in East Harlem in the 1960s. That was what the movie West Side Story was about. So these kinds of conflicts are related to transitions in communities and related to, as I said before, competition or resources. And the fact that some groups do bring with them harbor biases toward African Americans is quite real. And I think that's something that we need to really understand. Why is it that the negative images about African Americans are increasingly not just American, but they are global? And it has a lot to do with American media and the ways in which African Americans are portrayed.
Another interesting issue that's provoked, if not causal, in the Trayvon Martin case about possible competition for resources and success in communities like Sanford, Florida. Pedro Noguera, sociology professor at NYU, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we'd love to know what you think about these provocative statistics from that Duke University study. Negative sentiments about competitive groups in your community? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.